Jackson, I'm just moody today.
That's a bummer, Daniel. I'm sorry to hear that.
Just very moody. Not in the mood for this, but here we are. And it's really sad because I wanted to be very excited for today. Do you know why? Do you want to know why I was so excited for this episode? Because I've waited a whole year for it to be October, Jackson.
It is October.
And so I love October. And fun story, October is sort of when the idea for this podcast kind of birthed.
Is it really?
Yeah, that's definitely the first time that we started talking about it was after we were watching all the like terrible Netflix scary movies.
Yeah, it was.
That's when we were like, whoa, we could do a podcast about this. And I was like, dude, how cool would it be? I was like, how cool would it be if we had a podcast? And then when October rolled around, we were like paying homage to how it started by watching scary stuff. And dude, here we are.
Here we are doing that exact thing.
And we have some absolute crud to start off with.
Yeah, we do. This officially kicks off Spooktober.
Spooktober
is what we're calling it.
It is, and there will be an alternate logo that I'm very excited about because I got to use my superb graphic design skills, put about 6 minutes of work and effort into a very beautiful graphic. I think I'm just going to keep making alternate graphics for the seasons.
I like that.
Keep the show looking. I get tired of seeing the exact same picture for all the podcasts like every week. But it's cool. Scroll through like all the social media posts from Cardinal and Crane, you can see like where all the podcasts are.
That's convenient, I guess, if you're trying to look for. I don't know if anyone at all is trying to look for our podcast, to be honest. But
they should be.
They should be.
Especially recently, the last couple episodes have been really good, which is why I'm glad we've sort of gotten in a flow before getting into October, because this is the prime content. Maybe not today.
Hopefully.
We will get into some films and stuff as October moves along. We're very excited about the Joker film. We will have our second guest, my roommate, on for that episode in the near future. Today we're talking about...
Also, Zombieland 2.
We'll definitely talk about that as well.
I'm pretty excited for that one.
A rare example of a sequel that sort of gets lost in developmental purgatory. And movies never really come out of that, but this one did.
That's the kind of property that you would assume they would crank out 3 or 4 sequels to.
But people just had assumed that this was dead and lost, and it's back.
Which is exciting.
Today we're not talking about a film, though. We're talking about a TV show that you can... Well, I guess you can still watch it. The season's over now. But the CW started a horror anthology series called Two Sentence Horror Stories that's pretty tame.
I mean, it's TV.
We're not getting into like heavy gore or anything like that for this. We have little notes on each episode.
It's on Netflix now, by the way.
It is on Netflix now. That's where we watched it.
The first season was finished, and we sat through and watched the whole thing, which was a bit of an endeavor to get through the whole thing.
I mean, they were only 20 minutes apiece, but they definitely went overall further down in quality as you went along, but we'll hit them one at a time.
Yeah,
you've got the notes. So.
Yeah, I've got them here. Do you want to see them as well?
No, you just read me what I wrote down.
Okay. So the first episode of the season was called Gentlemen. This one was about, I don't want to give too much away, but just to give some plot.
We have to talk about some of the stuff that happened in these episodes. It's in our notes.
This one was about this single mother that's trying to get into the dating scene and finds a guy that she likes, but then there's more to it. And that's the scary part of it, is that, is this guy unhinged? Is he weird? What's the deal here? That's basically the premise of the episode.
We got to decide right now. There's no way we can talk about this unless we get into spoilers. Like, we have to talk about what happened.
No, we can keep the spoiler unsaid.
Dude, the twists are what I want to talk about, man.
This one was the only one with... Well, no, not quite. But I guess we can spoil it.
Yeah, we put spoiler warnings on things. We're telling you about this show so that you don't have to watch it, because it's not good.
Okay, that's a good mindset to have going into this. It really wasn't. None of these were really honestly worth it.
Not worth 20 minutes of your life, so we're going to give you the 5-minute
taste of it. So we're going to give you a 30-minute podcast of all of them.
If that.
So the plot in this one was that she's the weirdo.
They both were.
Well, that's true. That's true. he was actually a murderer. He
hunted for bad moms, and if he found out that you were a bad mom, you got dead.
You got dead, and then he would call child services immediately and make sure the baby was safe after
that. So, call him a hero, call him a villain, I don't know.
Definitely a villain. Murder is not a hero kind of thing, Daniel.
Like an anti-hero kind of situation.
Okay.
Vigilante that goes a little too extreme, hunting for bad moms.
Anyway, he finds this female and finds out she's, you know, got her own issues. One of them being that she's not a mom. Her baby is a doll.
It's a doll.
That she's been like raising
raising, because she's got like pieces in her room.
She's got like a whole setup
that are like labeled like, this is what a 6-month baby's leg should look like. just like adding the pieces as the kid grows up. You can't see me doing air quotes, but pretend that I am. Which, honestly, a solid twist enough. It was more funny than anything else, though. And then the guy's like, dude, just please let me go. I won't tell anybody.
That was pretty much the...
What do we give?
So you can give
the individual scores and the...
So we both gave that one a 6 out of 10.
Yeah, because it was solid. But we were both hoping for better at that point.
And again, I think part of that has to do with the fact that it's just a TV show. It's not a full-length feature. It's not even the premise. Well, yeah, let's go ahead and say this real quick. The premise of this series is that, I mean, it's called two-sentence horror story.
Every single short was based off of just two sentences of text
that were slightly eerie or creepy in some way.
And to varying degrees, they actually matched what was being said.
Yeah,
they would give you the first sentence at the beginning of the episode and then reveal the second sentence at the end.
They kind of filled in a little bit more information and what made it creepy. Usually the first sentence was just nothing.
Vague.
Yeah, and then the second sentence was like, oh, that's weird because of fill in the blank.
More than half the time, though, at the end, we were like, what?
What
does that have to do with what we just watched at all?
It was more of a...
The two sentences...
Here's the bare minimum of a prompt for an episode, and then we'll do whatever we want with the very, very bare minimum.
Yeah, the two sentences for that first episode were basically dealing with a living doll.
Yeah.
And the plot of the episode was the exact opposite. It was a not-living baby. But there were some intriguing moments. So overall, that's a score of 12.
Yes. Also, we should say that was the first one we watched. We had no idea where they would go. Was this good for this series? Was this bad for this series?
What's sad is it turns out that it was.
It was one of the better ones.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which I guess makes sense for them to put a.
But it is going to get better before it gets worse, because there's a couple.
Yeah. The next one was probably the most unsettling of them all.
It was the most
gross out, kind of that sort of thing. It's called Squirm, which is gross just saying. What was this one about? Squirm.
That's a fun word.
It's fun, but it's gross.
Yeah, it's more gross than fun. So this episode Squirm was simply about, it did with some darker topics that I don't really know if I want to touch on.
Yeah, we don't need to get too deep into that.
But the lighter topic dealt with the fear of something being inside you, something parasitical, very much an X-Files type thing, but done in a modern setting of an office setting, in which
office building setting.
You know, they all
office
party,
Christmas party.
They all get a little hammered, and the plot of the episode is this one female worker just trying to figure out if she has something living inside her. She doesn't. She was
like drugged, like roofied or something during the party, and she has no idea what to know. So that in and of itself is an eerie topic. Like that's unsettling just to think about.
Turns out it was just a psychological experiment by the boss man who, then in an act of revenge, they gave him dietary pills filled with tapeworm eggs, which if you're wondering,
and put something in,
those are a real thing. People will take dietary pills and fill themselves with tapeworms to share their nutrients.
And so, well, that's a pleasant way of putting it.
You have to view, if you view it in a pleasant way, it's just a little friend along for the ride. It's not so bad.
Ew. Basically, it came down to, I almost turned into a revenge story, you know, which was not that satisfying.
I just remembered at the end when our victims, I suppose, like stared at the camera, like unnaturally, trying to look cool or something. Man, that was rough. I do want to make a note, even though we're not going to get into this detail with like side characters for most of the episodes, but my guy Sanjay was my guy in this episode. He was just like the goofy friend character, and you can tell that he like wants to be more than friends and has good intentions, but he has no way, he has no idea how to go about this. And so later in the episode, after she's literally on the breaking point, she's on the verge. I almost said the vague. I almost said she's on the vague of insanity. She's on the verge of insanity. And he's like, now seems like a great time to ask her out. And so he takes her and locks her in a closet. And I just remember, and they did that to make you think, oh, maybe Sanjay's the bad guy. But it turns out he wasn't. No, and so I'm like, Sanjay, what are you doing? Why would you lock her in a closet of all the ways? That's not the way. That's not it. That's not good.
And then Sanjay left the office, and that was the end of that.
Yeah, he was done working there. Mm-hmm. Not because of that.
No, he just got another opportunity opened up for Sanjay.
Was like, yeah, locking people in the closet ain't gonna do, so you go. Man, that made me sad, because I liked Sanjay. He ended up just getting hit in the face, and that's how his arc ended.
Poor Sanjay. Next one was called...
Wait, what did we give that one?
The scores. Yeah. We both gave that a 7.
So we're up to a 14 out of 20.
I think the 7 from that one came from the pretty eerie, pretty creepy source material.
It was the kind of thing that made you think about it afterwards, because you were like, oh, tapeworms, those are real, those are possible, that's gross.
Yeah, and there's other elements from that story that just...
That we didn't get into, they're a little darker. Yeah,
icky to think about, that sort of thing. The next one was called Legacy.
This was my favorite, actually.
This was not quite my favorite, but this one was very, very, well, it was good for this series.
Considering the budget they had to work with, which probably was decent because the CW is a respectable outlet for sure. Riverdale certainly has them with plenty of money to work with at the moment. But this was good to me simply because the imagery was creepy.
Yeah, so this one's about a family... now consisting of mother-in-law
and daughter-in-law.
I almost said mother, which was
really mother.
Mother. Mother-in-law and daughter and a kid. And the wife... Oh, well, there's a deceased husband, too. That's very important.
Okay.
The wife is being haunted by the deceased husband, and the kid is the only one who can, like, really
see the dead husband.
Very kind of creepy-looking dude. They hire like an exorcist to banish his presence,
and he's like, "Yo, who's this kid?" And they're like, what kid?
It was honestly actually pretty good.
And then I do get credit for this.
Yeah,
I called it right on the point. I was like, the kid is the younger manifestation of our dead husband before the drinking, before the drugs. The little pure kid, you use the word pure, like innocent kid that is loved by the grandmother.
Yeah, part of the grandmother,
but the actual mother.
Was that the mother was like, that's his dark side of his spirit that's been corrupted.
Right.
And the kid was the representation of his pure spirit.
And the kid ghost ends up helping his older self sort of come to peace for a temporary amount of time.
Reconcile the differences, and they become a good memory of...
And then the mother-in-law and daughter-in-law, they move out. The ghost dude's like, wait a minute, you're yeeting out of here. And he's like, no, stay. And it tried to hit you with a sad moment at the end that didn't really work. But leading up to that climax was a solid little chase sequence.
It was honestly as far as scary.
Just being scary, it was the scariest part of the show.
Yeah,
my guy just straight up on his belly is just sliding up the staircase.
He's like scuttling.
Scuttling is such a good word.
He scuttled up the stairs and he...
And he just peeks his head like around the corner. Like the kind of stuff when you're a kid and you're walking in the top story of your grandma's house. Mm-hmm. And it's like the spiral staircase definitely goes down. And you're like, man, it'd be so creepy right now if something just peered out of the edge of it. And they did that perfectly. Really, and I was just like, whew, that's not okay.
And not only that, but like his head peeked out from like very low and then just...
Slowly started raising. I'm getting a little goosebumps thinking about it.
It was honestly...
Because it was a good shot.
That was the, like, as far as visuals go, the scariest episode.
Visually, yeah, for sure. Mm-hmm.
You gave that one an 8, and I gave that one an 8.5. That's 16.5 out of 20.
So now that we've continued to go up the scale and get better. Now we're going to plummet. Jackson's looking very confused at the notes.
The next one we did the math wrong on the, the scoring.
Wait, really?
Well, I mean, I don't think it was a math error so much as a... Unless I'm reading this wrong. Oh, wait, no, I'm reading the numbers wrong. We did get the math right. I thought my handwriting's too bad for me to be able to read it correctly. I thought it was a 6.5, not remembering what the episode was. It's actually a 1.5.
Oh.
So, yeah.
Wait, how do you mess up a 1 for a 6? Just
look at that real quick. Like the...
Oh, I see what you did.
The decimal point kind of turned into the little curl
little
of
six.
The 6.
Okay. This is horrible content for listeners. They're not looking at any of this. Let's get into the
episode. One's called Hide.
Oh, yeah. I do remember this. This was our... You don't at all,
I
do
don't
you?
Remember this
the
one.
Reason you don't is because it was a basic home invasion thing. Like, The Purge.
Oh, yeah.
They had the mask.
That's ringing a bell.
I literally didn't watch it.
It really was bad.
I literally weren't even looking at the screen because it was so... And the whole reason the episode existed was for there to be one scene at the end where they attempted to give political commentary.
But just didn't quite land.
It was just kind of corny.
Yeah, it felt really forced.
This one at least fit the two-sentence prompt.
I don't remember the, any of
it
the
did.
Prompts, honestly.
I don't remember any of the prompts either, but I do remember this one was one of the ones where it was like, oh, that actually makes sense.
Oh, yeah, this the prompt for this one was like, I left the door open that night and made it easier to catch my prey. So it was kind of like this... It was weird. It was like...
I'll take your word
for
it.
Oh, the door's unlocked. She's going to get killed. But then it's like, oh, no, she's...
What happens is the babysitter in this scenario is watching a couple's kid as they go out on a date night. Very typical plot. Our babysitter is of Hispanic descent. Mm-hmm. And after she... I assume she saves the kid. Maybe the kid saved herself. We weren't paying attention at all.
I think she saves the kid.
She saves the kid. She takes out our... Home Alone style invaders, and then comes to her own house where her children are there, and she's praised on the news as like a hero, which then leads ICE.
ICE.
Did I call it ICE?
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
I don't know if you're allowed to call it that.
I don't think so.
Is that what people call it?
So when people do the in case of emergency in your phone contacts, they say ICE. That's a different ICE.
Yeah.
Yeah. Either way, those services come to... deportate.
That's definitely not the right word.
I know, but that one was on purpose. Which is that's a topic. This podcast is not about that. But it was interesting that they tried to get some social commentary in here.
Yeah, it was basically that she played the hero and ended up rescuing the kid, and that got her on the news, and that got her name out there, and she gets deported for it. Her and her family get deported for it, which is a sad kind of story, but not enough of a story to really
20-minute episode.
Exactly, it just didn't quite land.
In fact, you could turn that story into a 2-sentence plot.
Yeah,
that whole thing, you really could. I'm not gonna try because I'm tired. Move on to the next.
Yeah,
episode,
we,
please. Wait, we gave this one pretty low ratings, didn't we?
Yeah. You gave that a 2, and I gave that a 1.5. So
and
that's
I only gave it a 2
half.
For the political attempts. Okay. So we went from a 16.5 to a 3.5.
There's some definite political statements there that we don't get into because we're nimrods that talk about movies, not politics.
We always could. We should do that. We should have an episode like late in this thing where we just come in and talk about nothing but hard politics and try to irritate as many people as possible. People start the episode and they're like, what?
I feel like right now we're trying to build a fan base, not destroy it. So.
July 4th, Independence Day.
Oh, great.
Back for that episode, we'll do the red, white, and blue color scheme on the logo. I'm kidding. This is not happening ever. No.
Yeah, we don't really do politics. We're not that.
I think we're on to our second half of the season now, right?
Thankfully. Yeah. So okay. That was the first night that we watched.
We split this into 2 episodes. Viewings. I actually skipped out on studying for an exam for the second viewing, which we're going to pretend it still went amazingly.
The next episode was called Scion, and that name does not ring any bells. I don't remember this one.
Read my sentence. Yeah, because I don't remember it either. Oh, this is the one that happened in the insane asylum.
Yeah.
This is the kid who basically goes to get mental help and it just turns into like your.
Well, it wasn't mental health.
It wasn't mental health.
Yeah, like cancer or something.
Oh, it was a physical condition. Yeah. Okay.
But he had some sort of disease.
Afterwards, he needed mental health because he essentially just got in your basic cult situation. Mm-hmm. So what was going on? This episode,
the doctor of the institution,
more kind of generic stuff you've seen before.
Basically, was going to sacrifice him or use his body.
It use him as like a host for something.
We both basically said the same thing, that it's a overrated kind of story, overused. And that it just didn't really work. It just didn't. It fell flat.
Yeah, not necessarily. I do want to say a lot of these grievances, really not to the fault of the actors.
No, not too much.
They actually did a decent job. It wasn't because it was like, wow, that acting was kind of suspect. They did okay with what they were given. There's just, from a creation standpoint, it was rough.
Which is interesting because the CW is as big of a budget as they can afford to give smaller things like this. Their acting's not always that great.
No,
I can think of a few shows where it was just.
Ooh, name them.
I'm thinking of Arrow. I really like.
Whoa! That. So we're only going to sidetrack for 2 seconds.
Okay.
So season one of Arrow is just decent. So no.
I really like season one.
Okay, here's the thing. Season two of Arrow is one of the top three comic book things I've ever seen.
Really.
The way that they handled the Suicide Squad and everything was just superb. You have to see season one for the purpose of it being a serialized TV show to understand what's going on. But season two of Arrow is one of the highest quality things I think I've watched.
So I think my problem with CW stuff is
it goes downhill after that.
It's just a soap opera for teenagers.
There's a fair amount of soap going on, but that's why I like season two so much, is because it really delved. Maybe
is the past tense delved.
We are amazing podcasters.
This is probably really bad content too. No, maybe this is funny. I don't know.
Well, it had a chance before you mentioned whether or not it was.
No, it's always funnier if you acknowledge how not funny.
Fair enough.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, no, it did delved. There's no way that's correct.
I thought you were using it in the past tense.
It did delve into like more of the comics and more of the action, but I don't want to talk about that right now. Let's go ahead and say the scores that we gave.
Gave it a 4 and I gave it 2.5,
so it was a 6.5. so we're slowly climbing our way back up.
Mm-hmm.
What's our next episode?
The next one was Tutorial, which I really liked this one. Watching it was honestly really.
Oh, I remember this one now.
Original?
Oh, we didn't think so at first.
Yeah, we didn't.
It looked
think
like
so.
It was playing off the sort of technological horror kind of genre, where it's like social media and like the dark web.
Like
Turns out this
thing was captured on a webcam, and I thought that's all it was going to be.
The main switch that this episode utilized was the victim is actually the danger, source of danger. This was actually probably the best solo acting performance in the whole
series. Yeah, because
she sold both sides of it.
It was staged
just right.
It was staged as if it was a
makeup
tutorial on YouTube or something. But it wasn't YouTube ad.
She was making a face mask. Little did we know that it was out of human skin.
Yeah, it was an actual face.
It was
I think it was just
body collaboration of things.
And again, it couldn't look too real because it was TV. Didn't this show?
Oh no, it looked like a piece of bread.
Yeah, it was. It looked like
it's like a piece of white.
Looked
bread.
Like tofu.
You're right. It did, which doesn't look like white bread. So
it looked like spongy.
It just looked
kinda
basic. It had nothing to it. Yeah. But there were some solid little moments of like twists and.
Yeah, so the twists were actually pretty good. The problem is
they did
like one too many. Like, first it was like, oh, the person climbing in her window is the bad guy and she's going to get murdered. Then it was like, oh, he was looking for his friend that was kidnapped and she's the actual danger. And then it was like, oh,
the friend that was kidnapped is actually just posing as the friend and is the boyfriend of the killer who helps to kill the friend.
Yeah, it was wild. And I was like, whoa.
You didn't quite follow that, but it got all over the place at the end.
The first plot twist of, like, she's the actual danger was enough for me to go, oh, dang. Because it didn't happen at the end. It happened midway through. And it was like this whole thing just suddenly shifted into not her being haunted in her own home, but her haunting someone in her own home.
It's almost like the show had gotten so low in quality by that point that we were like half paying attention, and this required you to go like, oh.
Yeah.
And it grabbed your attention and made you actually watch the end of the episode, which didn't turn out to be worth it. But regardless, I do think we gave this one slightly better ratings.
Yes, much better than the last one. You gave it a 5.5 and I gave it a 7.
So that's a 12.5.
Mm-hmm.
Still not coming close to our 16.5.
No.
But we have two left. And it's about to get worse once again.
That would be the second highest. No, third highest, though, so far.
What's our second to last episode? I remember not being into it.
Oh, I do remember now.
It was the voodoo grandma.
Yeah.
And she was living with her son, his wife, and grandkid.
Mm-hmm.
And she had, like, her whole little voodoo booth that was just set up in...
it's like an altar.
A voodoo booth. And it was just set up in suburban, like, bedroom. Like, it didn't look... The set piece on this one was terrible, which is why I feel like there were different teams on these different episodes.
Yeah.
Some of them seemed like they had more budget than others. I feel like it was different directors. Maybe even they just pulled in short films and maybe they gave people a prompt. It would make sense why the prompts didn't fit the episodes if they were just slapping them on to like random submissions.
That's true.
But we didn't do our research. Why would we do that? Anyway,
you
I
heard
wanted
me say we were Nimrods, right?
I wanted this episode to be awesome, Jackson.
It really
because
really
the idea bad. Of like voodoo grandma turns out to actually be your protagonist and grandchild turns out to be the spawn of Satan or
whatever. This one wasn't really so much a twist. But it kind of just subverted your immediate expectations. What? I don't even remember how this one ended.
She dies. Because she can't get to her asthma inhaler.
Yeah.
So she has an asthma inhaler the whole time, which anytime she gets stressed to let the viewer know that she's having an asthma attack, it just makes the screen all blurry. and she starts like falling over on her knees, and then she takes her inhaler and immediately gets better.
This poor old lady had the goofiest look of terror ever, which was really a shame.
A serious case of resting derp face, and
her scared face wasn't like, oh no, I'm scared. It was like this goofy, like eyes wide, mouth a perfect circle. It was just kind of goofy looking, and it took you out of it every single time.
She ends up on the outside of the house. The kid has the parents under the spell, and he is also in possession of the beloved asthma inhaler, and so she is out. It's not funny to watch people suffer from asthma, but as someone who has asthma, this isn't how you die from asthma.
No.
You don't, like...
She died in, like, 10 seconds, too.
She had the seizures. She had the symptoms of seizures. I was going to say that it looked like she was having a stroke, not an asthma attack.
Yeah, it was... It didn't make a lot of sense.
No, it didn't. And I really liked the idea, and it was just not well done. So what was the
You gave it a 5, and I gave it a 4.
So that's a 9. So we're back in single-digit territory. The last episode kind of saves us a little bit.
This one was my favorite. This one was called Little Monsters. No, it didn't have anything to do with Lady Gaga, but it did have to do with three...
That was a pop culture reference, in case you didn't catch that, guys.
I stuck that in there. It was really clever, too.
Points for Jackson. Gold star. I'm sorry, I totally derailed your train of thought.
Yeah, I did. Hold on. It is funnier when you acknowledge how not funny something is, though. That's definitely true. This one involved three kind of inner-city kids. One of them was a little girl that was new to this apartment building. Two of them were these older boys that kind of took her into their group. Well, I mean, it's a group of three. It's not that huge of a group. But basically, their kind of neighborhood was being haunted by like a shape-shifting entity. It was sort of like It, in that there's a group of kids that have to take on this
anti-kid entity.
Yeah, that can change its appearance.
That's exactly what this episode was.
Yeah,
although
it's a lot like It. But here's the thing. I love that dynamic. That's awesome. The kids were honestly a whole lot of fun to watch. A
couple solid scares, I guess, were in this episode.
Yeah, this
definitely
one,
some CGI.
That was not great.
Yeah.
They really nailed the whole, like, ambiance of this film. Like, when they needed to get scary and they're in the lair of the monster, it was off-putting.
Our kids were likable in this one, though. Not our kids, but the kids in this episode were I could have watched more of their story, although I would have preferred for something other than the shape-shifting creature or whatever.
Also, it only ever shape-shifted as, like, a normal person to, like, lure kids in. It was never, like, it would turn into like a monster.
I was thinking, like, a cardboard box. But just something incognito. Did I use that word correctly?
I mean, I feel like humans are relatively incognito.
Oh, so I did? That word just sounded really cool in a sense.
It is a cool word. You gave it a 7.5, and I gave it a 9 out of 10. So that's a 16.5.
Which ties it with episode 3. So both of our favorites ended up tying overall at 16.5.
So that's Legacy and Little Monsters. If you want to watch those two, those two
are worth watching even after our spoilers. Especially the first one, just if you want to be spooked.
Yeah. So I think the main problem with these episodes were that they weren't the right length. So they were all based off of two sentence horror stories, which are two sentences for a reason. If you try to expand on most of the prompts, it just didn't quite work. Not only that, but they weren't long enough at the same time. They were too long and not long enough. If some of these things had been developed into a full hour and a half, 2 hour movie, I think if you gave more time to develop some of these characters and get us more invested,
and
I
had actually, an entirely different creative team behind it.
That too. I think honestly, these could have held their own.
But they have me excited anyway, because October's back and that atmosphere is in the air, and I'm excited because there should be some decent content to come out of this month as we get to
the couple movies that I know we need to watch this month.
Will be watching them, and for the next four-ish episodes we'll be talking exclusively about what we view. Real quick before we go, we just had a movie night last night. We rewatched Hocus Pocus. And when I say rewatched, we weren't born when it first was watched by people.
Yeah, that's true. And I've never seen it before, so I was watching.
You slept for a good portion of it, and you actually slept for most of the better parts of the movie.
It was kind of the climax of the movie.
Dude, I love this movie.
Really?
That's good. Part of it's because I love the cat so much. Because it's the only movie I've ever seen
it's
an 18-year-old. Boy, but it's in the form of a cat. But it's the only movie I've ever seen that's used a black cat in a non-evil context and like a non-bad luck context, even though it was a curse, but he ended up embracing it as like the friendly animal sidekick character that had some decent facial.
That gets hit by a bus.
It does get hit by a bus.
That was honestly hilarious.
But then he like rebloomed. It was a fun time, even though Jackson was out cold.
This was very fun. I mean, that's
this
what
is a fun month. Yeah. This month is about fun. This is a month-long holiday, truly.
It really is.
Yeah, because you celebrate it all the way leading up to the day.
As we are going to do with watching all these movies.
I guess that's it.
I guess
we're getting better.
We've
had some good cold outros, and we've had some of it where it's just us bambling till the end. We could just randomly end it, you know, mid-sentence.
I'm trying to think of a good outro, a good way to say...
Are we going to have music at some point, maybe?
We can make some music right now. Just improv it.
One, two, three...